Chemtree Lord Altman, formerly king of the Familius Regnant, tried to reason with his wife over breakfast.
I don't see why you can't understand. They're your sons as much as mine.
They're no one's sons.
Although his wife seemed to lean on the end of the table, elbows on either side of a tray of fancifully carved fruits, that was illusion. A matter of expensive communications equipment synchronizing her image from past breakfasts with her voice from very far away.
Certainly not mine, and not yours either if you only knew it. They're clones, constructs, human only in genome. You were never a father to them. I was never a mother.
Chemtree pressed his fingers to his temples, a gesture that had been effective in council meetings. It had not worked with her for years, and it did not work now, not least because she did not have the visual display on her console turned on. He kept hoping to see the telltale red light turn green. He wanted to meet her eyes, her real eyes, not those of the construct, and convince her with his sincerity.
They're all we've got! They could be our sons if you'd only...
They're grown. They're not little boys. They're bad copies of Gerald. Was he the only one you cared about?
Of course not, he wanted to say. He had said it before, just as they had had this argument before in the weeks since his resignation. At first face to face, then down the length of that long dining table, then by the various communications devices required by the increasingly great physical distances between them, as she removed herself from his demands.
Please.
No.
The live connection ended. The construct sat immobile, waiting for his finger to extinguish its imitation of life. He put his thumb down. She wanted him to give it up, deal with the loss of his sons, get on with whatever life was left him. He couldn't do that. Not until he had at least tried to get the clones to cooperate. They were the only sons he had now. The senior accountant of the Benignity of the Compassionate Hand looked at the chairman across the boardroom table.
I don't see any reason to butcher the cash cow. Breeder it will have more calves to send to market.
She's a shy breeder.
The diplomatic subordinate should have kept quiet. It was his last mistake. When the meeting resumed, several people walked across the damp patch on the carpet as if nothing had happened. It wasn't unusual, and it didn't really reflect on Sasimo, whose protege had been unwise. Every senior man present had discovered that a first appearance in the boardroom could unsettle a youngster previously considered promising.
Still, he had a point.
No one asked to what the chairman was referring. Those who couldn't figure it out didn't belong there.
The Familius walks like a tart and talks like a tart, but carries a hat pin in her purse.
The hat pin being, as they all knew, the regular space service's unbought fraction, which they knew down to the level of cook's assistants.
It's a short hat pin, not long enough to reach the heart of a strong man. A little risk, a prick perhaps, and better a marriage than a disgrace, right?
Right, if it's only a flesh wound. Perhaps our admiral would review the situation?
But indeed, the situation looked good. Not only were so many fleet personnel on the Compassionate Hand payroll, as it were, but they had been placed into critical positions. Given a good start, with new forward bases increasing the number of jump points they could reach undetected, the regular space service should be immobilized by uncertainty as well as internal problems. The admiral pointed out the system on the display.
We start here. They're used to neglect from the RSS. Athras World Raiders took out their stationary defenses last year, and they've been issued nothing to replace them. It's an agricultural world, thinly populated. We'll lose no essential industries if we scorch it lightly.
Resistance?
Negligible. Farmers with hand weapons. Even if they scatter and survive the scorch, we can ignore them.
Principal crop?
Horses, if you can believe it.
Horses?
And not workhorses. They export sperm and embryos of fancy horses.
The chairman leaned back, thumbs in his waistcoat pockets.
Show horses. I like horses. If they survive the scorch, I'd like a souvenir pairing.
Which meant they had better survive the scorch.
Of course.
My granddaughter, you know, she likes pretty horses.
As if the chairman needed to explain. He turned back to the Admiral.
Be sure to bring one Lotta would like. White feet, a long tail, that kind of thing.
Of course.
The Admiral began tallying in his mind the extra time it would take to scorch selectively, so that the chairman's granddaughter could have a pretty horse for a souvenir. It shouldn't be too bad, even if their agent betrayed them. He would add another couple of ships to the advanced strike force, which would give them the margin for a careful scorch.
And why not this system? It has the same advantages.
Nearly.
One did not directly contradict one of the board, not if one wanted to leave the room with breath intact.
But it connects directly to only one jump point, with only three mapped vectors. As well, it's near enough to Guernsey space that the Guernsey might take notice. Our chosen target connects directly to two jump points, offering a total of eight mapped vectors, most of them into high vector points. And, of course, its other border is the unstable one with Ather's world, from which the raiders have come.
Quite so. We have already approved your target, Admiral.
That was dismissal, and the Admiral saluted, bowed, and left. When he reached his office, he found that he had been given a final command. Interesting that the chairman had not wanted to say that in front of the others. The chairman would be honored if the Admiral would allow the chairman's great-nephew, now in command of a heavy cruiser, to be part of this expedition. Unmentioned was the young man's record. Neither needed to mention it. The young man had risen more by influence than ability, everyone was sure. And yet he wasn't stupid or cowardly.
Dangerous to both friends and enemies. Convinced that his real successes have been overlooked, along with his mistakes, because of his relationship.
The Admiral considered. Was this the chairman's way of letting the younger man hang himself, or his way of sabotaging the Admiral, whose own grandson might otherwise have been chosen? He couldn't take both. He could afford only one less experienced captain. Of course, he must take the chairman's choice, but he need not make it easy. He would assume, he would document that assumption, that the chairman wished to test his kinsman, wished him to prove himself. He grinned suddenly.
Let him be the one to bring home a pretty horse for Carlotta.